left here, Mallory. It's going to be a strange holidays. You mentioned your family earlier. What are you looking forward to?
I'm mostly looking forward to on the 20th is Yalda, which is what my family celebrates. You know, we don't really do the Christmas holiday, but it is the solstice celebration. We make a little altar, we eat pomegranates, and we recite poetry, and it's kind of a celebration of making that longest night of the year a little lighter. Work-wise, I have an upcoming publication in the Methuen Drama Book of Trans Plays. I wrote an introduction to Raphael Khoury's Shihi Mi, which is a lovely play about three Southwest Asian and Muslim trans people. And so I wrote an intro to that that should be coming out in the next year or so. And I'm working on an audio play called Abundancia by Carlos Sena Trujillo through Matchbox Theater Company in Connecticut. So that'll be coming soon as well.
Well, good for you. It's so good to get to know you better and to have this conversation. I really appreciate the work that you're doing and the representation that you're doing, and keep it going, you know?
Thank you.
We definitely need you. It's so great to talk with you today, Mallory Mirashrafi. Thank you for this conversation. So before we go, I want to do a short shout out for Passin Art Theater. They're doing a virtual concert of holiday favorites and gospel songs, and it's happening online on Saturday, December 19th at 5:30 p.m. And Passin Art usually produces beautiful production of Black Nativity. And this year, it's Joyful Sounds, a virtual holiday concert. So check it out at passinart.org. That's it for Stage and Studio. You can hear this show again at stageandstudio.org. We're going out with more music by David Arnett Cherry. DavidArnettCherry.com. Till next time, I'm Dime Roberts.
You're listening to KBOO Portland.
Andy Wawa looks a scream. Hang him on that wall. Andy Wawa, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is painter Sally Cleveland. Her show, Day Unto Day, is on now at Augen Gallery at 716 Northwest Davis Street through December 31st, 2020. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus, Sally.
You're certainly welcome.
This show, I'm going to read out your artist statement because I find it fascinating. This year, as I face daily headlines of cruelty, apathy, conflict, and death, I took comfort in routine and the practices and the practice of creating. I gave up trying to make a cohesive body of work for this exhibition and experimented with various media. I let my ideas take me anywhere that felt good, and I was able to find some peace within the chaos. And then you signed it, Sally Cleveland, December 2020. So Sally, let's just take a look at two of these paintings that go together. One is called Sapling During Lockdown, and the other is called Birch Sapling. So they're both birch saplings, baby trees. And the one during lockdown is on a very dark background of trees. It's woods that are in shadow with a green grass foreground. The second one, which is just birch sapling, the tree is on a hill and the background is much more detailed. It's a smaller piece, but it's a lot lighter. Tell us, is there any kind of pathetic fallacy, you know, the sense that during lockdown things are darker, or why did you paint these two pictures differently?
Oh, I see. Actually, I didn't see them all that differently, and I feel like the last 4 years are sort of darker. I hadn't thought about it, but I thought about it this morning, actually, that it was darker out. It was kind of tainted, and it feels like there's something better coming, maybe. But the birch really, I try not to think too much when I choose a subject matter. I just choose what I like, and then I realize later why I chose it. So the smaller birch is, I did a graphite drawing with a little mechanical pencil, and then I came back in and hand-tinted it with watercolor. And that was during the lockdown. In fact, that was shown in a group show called Artists Under Lockdown. So this birch tree, maybe it'll help if I start a little bit about why I like this birch tree. I mean, I like it visually simply because it's this white vertical that slightly slants and moves up, and it's just a gorgeous shape. And it's always against this background of evergreens, which really are blue-green a lot, and they're so dark. And I see it every time I go up over Skyline. It's in the cemetery up there. And I see it as I'm coming up over, and I always notice it. And it never seems to grow much bigger. It's been about the same size for the last 10 years. But it's really a beautiful line. So I think of it as sort of nature's line or something. Anyway, so I did it, the first one smaller, and then I repeated it when I did this show because I liked it so much. I wanted to do it larger, and I like doing it with an even darker background because I think then the white of that line is a lot more expressive. You can see it better. And yes, for sure, I call it sapling during lockdown. I suppose if I wanted to get poetic about it, I guess I could say that it's sort of a hope, you know, it's kind of reaching, and it has such a grace to it. I like that. And there is darkness all around. So there's that. And interestingly enough, the little angel that's underneath is also at the same cemetery, and I just think I have done it before, many years ago, but I wanted to do it again because it seemed like a time for having angels.
These pieces are pretty small, 7 by 5 inches, and you're using oil and color pencil on paper. Do you paint them outside, or do you do all this when you're at home?
I don't do plein air painting. I like to paint inside where I'm really comfortable. So I take a lot of photographs, and I also do sketches. Sometimes I sketch while I'm driving a little bit, which isn't to say that's a great idea, but anyway.
Did you say while you're driving? How does that work?
Well, not real well. I've given it up a bit. But I used to have a sketchbook kind of balanced on the steering wheel, and then I could make a quick notation as I slow down, and then I could move forward. Sometimes it's really important for me to get the feeling I have at that moment. I mean, the photograph is great too. Then I can pull over and get the photograph, but if I get the sketch first, it's just like this instant expression, and I want to keep that.
A lot of the pieces in this show are landscapes of very kind of wet areas. I feel like you could be in, you know, the Netherlands or somewhere. There's so much water and so much reflection of sky and clouds. Let's look at a couple here. There's one called River Divide. The horizon sort of starts halfway up the left side, and it gradually descends till it's about a third of the way down on the right side. The foreground is grass with, I think, walls, and then a large white body of water. Behind that, it goes uphill into a series of trees, and then there's a faint horizon. So the clouds, which are very heavy in the sky, are sort of occluding the horizon. I think there's something, it looks like a windmill, or there are cranes. It's very hard to tell what's going on the horizon. And then next to it is a picture called Irrigation Ditch Facing East, where all the lines are the opposite. The ditch is going away from the viewer into a vanishing point, and the horizon is more irregular, and you've included a lot more sky, but it's a similar kind of brushwork where these are quite aggressive brush strokes depicting very thick clouds. Tell us about where these places are, and talk about the kind of technique as an oil on paper artist.
The first one that you mentioned, River Divide, is in Yamhill County, and I just like the shape. Often I choose landscapes not for, most likely I choose a landscape for the shapes and the composition rather than the any kind of specific subject matter. I do like spaces that don't have lots and lots of trees in the way, because often I don't get enough shape that way with the land. But in this particular case, it's in Yamhill County, and there's water that seems to have sunk into this kind of arrow shape that I liked a lot. It seemed so streamlined and really beautiful, that shape. So I wanted to get that. And then there's dark soil that moves in from the front that has a lot of red in it. And the second one that you mentioned, and I think it's interesting that you mentioned all the water, because I wasn't aware that I had chosen pieces with a lot of water, but this is an irrigation ditch that is also in Yamhill County, and I just like the reflections, and it gave me a chance to be a little more ferocious in the foreground, which I wanted to do. And as you asked me about my paintings and how I do the work, I mean, I start really loosely. All of these, whether they end up being fairly detailed even, they always start very loose, so I don't lose the movement or the feeling that I have in my head. That's really important to me. And often I like the movements that I get initially, so I try to leave some of that behind by the very end. And this one, I guess I just left more behind. I really liked the, I guess they must be, since I can't tell by my own painting, because it's highly gestured.
How is it painting with this hard bristled brush in oil on paper? Because it seems like you have a choice. You can go super detailed and, you know, really draw things on the horizon, or you can just kind of go crazy and be very impressionistic.
Actually, I use a watercolor brush. I mentioned the bristle brush, the boar bristle, because that's, I don't use that a lot. Sometimes I will use that when I start a piece. Often I start with a palette knife and just lay the paint down directly onto the paper. And by the way, I gesso the paper in most cases. So then I come back in, I lay the paint down with the palette knife and just fool around with it. I mean, because again, I want a sense of life underneath these when they're done. Often I'll use the boar brush as a way to get a gesture in there. Usually that comes in later or near the end. And then in the meantime, most of the work is done with flat watercolor brushes.
Just next to those are two more landscapes. One of them is called Slough and Reflection, like a channel and reflection. And it seems almost tropical. The greens are very bright and vivid. There's a lot of light blue in the water and pink. And even the way the foliage, it looks big-leaved and just not local. And then below that is something a lot more kind of, you know, Northern European or Pacific Northwest. It's a pond with really a lot of big clouds, gray bottom, white clouds reflected in the water, and there are reeds growing through the water and through the clouds, as it were. That one's called Pacific Northwest Slough. Tell me about the top one, because you took a totally different approach with the green and the pink and the blue.
Well, as with most artists, I think, that work on paper or canvas that are doing two-dimensional work, a lot of it has to do with the materials that I use. The top, oddly, both of these are in the same area. They're both at Savi Island. In fact, they're both in the same area where I hike on Savi Island. So although they look, the top one you said almost looks tropical, maybe, but they're both a slough in an area where I hike on Savi Island. And the top one is in gouache, so if I'm using a water-based paint like gouache, which is a thicker version of watercolor, essentially, I have to allow for the paint quality itself and for what I know it's going to do. And also, I want to celebrate that particular medium. That's why that one looks different. I wanted to take advantage of the gouache. And then on the bottom, that piece is in oil. Oil, of course, dries much more slowly, and I'm able to layer things up a lot more and come back and fool around with the lines. I like the lines of the little grass areas in the foreground. I really liked making those. A lot of times I do those with the the very edge of a palette knife. I just push it down.
There are other landscapes in the show we can't talk about because of time, but you've chosen a lot of people-less places with heavy clouds. You know, there's not much sunshine going on. Is this part of the mood you were talking about in your statement where you talked about headlines of cruelty, apathy, conflict, and death, and you took comfort in routine and the practice of creating? I mean, was your routine hiking or driving or what?
Actually, I'm more bookish. I do try to hike, and honestly, that's kind of my usual way of approaching things. I like them to be more stark, and I don't really like people in the landscapes that I paint. I like to paint people a lot, and especially as portraits, but I like the landscape for what it is. In a sense, it's a portrait of that landscape or that space or that site. So I see it as a separate being, I guess, and I want that. Also, I can get a better sense of the composition without worrying about a person in there.
My name is Joseph Gallivan. You are listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Sally Cleveland. She's a painter, and her show Day Unto Day is on now at the Augen Gallery, 760 Northwest Davis Street, through December 31st. Most of the pieces are kind of like postcard size, but there is one big piece. It's 10x7, and it's totally different subject matter. It's a still life of a small desk in a nook. There's a rug on the floor, there's some paintings, a doorway, another chair facing the viewer, and then there's a painting above the desk. You just called it a large room / Salem, Oregon. So it makes me wonder, why are there so few pictures just like this, interiors, and what's going on in Salem?
In terms of why this is a different sort of subject matter, actually, I don't really think a lot about subject matters, as I say, and especially this for this show, I was kind of doing what appealed to me. This, I don't live in Salem, but I did at one time, and I lived in this really great apartment. I had to get an apartment very quickly. I moved to Salem so that I could teach at Western Oregon University. And I found this apartment that was still in process of being built, and it had these floor-to-ceiling windows. They were just gorgeous. I mean, it was just gorgeous. So it was all light. Every day I woke up to light. And so this is one of those areas, although I did it this year. I did it from a photograph and memory.
What's the painting above the desk?
It's a painting of my daughter when she was about 6 years old. And it's in a lot of my paintings because I often have it up on the wall. And actually, I have done many interior spaces. They just don't happen to be in this particular show.
There's a cluster of four pieces which are all portraits. So we got used to all this landscape work, but then suddenly there's four portraits. Two of them are girl with red hair. Who's the girl with the red hair? And
the girl is my daughter, Amelia, who is also the small child in the painting you were asking me about. She was about 16 and 17 during these paintings. She used to come to my studio after school, and again, with a lot of light, and she would sit there doing her homework. And she was just a wonderful model, a beautiful girl, and I loved painting her. She got so she was very good at posing and sitting there for me for prolonged amounts of time. There's something calming about her presence, not just because she's my daughter, but because of the person that she is. And so both of these, I think, have that kind of feeling about them.
What kind of a person is she, and how old is she now?
She's 33, and she's a tattoo artist, and She's a writer and a tattoo artist, and her hair is now blonde.
Does it make much difference when you know someone that well when you do a portrait versus a total stranger?
Well, it's interesting you ask that, because when I started doing portraits, I found it much harder to do a portrait of someone that I knew really well than I did, you know, a stranger, like a model. But more and more, it doesn't matter to me. I just try to I try to go with what my instinct is and also my knowledge, just my sort of innate knowledge about what a face looks like. But most of all, I just want to get that particular face or that particular body or that particular gesture.
The other two portraits are head of a girl in a coffee shop, which is a woman with her hair pulled back, and she's in a kind of blue denim dress, and she's got glasses around her neck. Can't tell what she's doing with her hands, but she's definitely got a pastry and a cup of coffee next to her. I don't know what she's doing, but she's looking down, like away from the table. And then above her, the other portrait is just says portrait of George, and it's just a pencil drawing of a guy with glasses on, looking 90 degrees from the viewer, and you've left the body sort of half finished. It's all focuses on the face, you know, the wrinkles, the mustache, the eyes. It's a very focused kind of portrait of someone thinking. Just like the one below, it's someone very intent. Who are these people and what were they up to?
The woman in the coffee shop, I don't know her. She's a complete stranger. I was waiting for my sister at a coffee shop, and this woman was sitting there, and the light on her head reminded me of something like Vermeer or something. There was something so beautiful about the way the light hit her face that I wanted to get that. So I took a quick photograph. I believe she's playing with her phone. And the one above is a pencil drawing of George Johansson, an artist who is also showing here this month.
There's a row of landscapes as you come in the door. I think the most striking feature to me is the way you've used pink and red in these sort of heavily cloudy skies. Is this a time of day thing, or are you just kind of projecting color into the landscape? Which, I mean, otherwise, if these had been done all in dark greens and blues, I would have thought this was around here. But with all this pink, it makes me feel like it's somewhere else.
Well, it is. It's in my head, kind of, but it's also around here. And I'm so pleased. I'm kind of touched that you noticed the pink. But a lot of it has to do, it's sort of technical. There's so much green in Oregon and so much green in landscape that it's nice to get some red in there. So I like my very favorite color is an alizarin crimson. This is oil I'm talking about. And if you really use it as a glaze and then mix something like a very thin wash of a cad yellow medium, you can get this kind of gorgeous peachy color that makes this unbelievable kind of glaze. And I use that a lot. Well, not a lot, actually, because I'd want to use it all the time. But I use it carefully when I can. And I liked it in these.
And I think my favorite painting in the whole show is called Red Reflection because it's an industrial scape. It looks like the back of a warehouse, and then in the foreground, there's a red sort of machine, looks like part of a crane, a mobile crane, big reddish-orange vehicle. There's some trucks in the background, there's a FedEx sign. And then in the foreground, there's a kind of brown dirt with a big puddle in it, which obviously reflects the warehouse in the background. You've gone into great detail with capturing the tread of the big tires, the tractor tires, and the light coming off the metal of the crane. But then the sky is like one big white, broad brushstroke.
Well, the sky is one of those boar bristle brushstrokes that I like to put in there. You know, I don't know if surely you've noticed how the sky is in Oregon, where sometimes there's just nothing there. It is just this amazing color of actually all three primary colors mixed together and kind of grayed down and white. That's how it is, like almost all the time. And then you'll see this tiny little bit of a color moving somewhere. And that's what I wanted to capture. You can see there's a small bit of yellow moving in from the one side. In any case, this is in southeast Portland, and I had a studio there for a time. And I it's really just a rough area, and I liked it.
So come over here, Sally. at the window of the Augen Gallery right now, the skies are kind of bruise gray and there's a rainbow in it. Would you bother with that if you were here with your paints?
I probably would avoid the rainbow, but I love your description of the bruised sky. That's gorgeous. Good job. Anyway, yeah, but you can see that the rainbow is about the only thing you can see in the sky, although it does vary, like it's more bruised around the rainbow and then it gets lighter as we move towards the other side.
The picture right above the red reflection is called Shed, and I like this because it's one of those wooden sided buildings you see everywhere on the edge of town, like maybe in Hillsborough, these sort of rickety wooden buildings from 100 years ago. But then on the side of it, there's a little annex with a, it looks like a two-story annex. And on the side of that is presumably the shed you're talking about. It's like a one-story lean-to with maybe a chimney. And then there's some telegraph poles and then a farm kind of building across the street. So you've really focused, the little shed is the absolute center of the picture, and then there's the big mass on the left, the dark building contrasts with the sky, which again is a wild white and blue sky. Why did you focus so much on the shed?
Well, actually, I loved your description, but you are mistaken. The name of the town is Shed. And it's kind of funny how this came about, because a long time ago, I was getting the paper, the Oregonian paper, and every so often they'd have these weird, they would take photographs of places in obscure places in Oregon, and I saw this photograph of this really large, dark shape, and it was the barn in Shed, Oregon, and I thought, oh, because I love driving around, that's where I find my sites, and I thought, oh, I'll go see that. So it was this great day trip, and I went to Shed, Oregon, and it was mostly just this big barn. And I love the shapes of the barn and then the varying browns and darks and lights and just slight value changes and in this big wooden building. So I took a lot of photographs. I stopped by the one little convenience store and I asked the woman there, I said, well, what goes on here? And she said, absolutely nothing. I thought it was great. She was fairly elderly. So anyway, I liked going through there, and it was beautiful country. So it's more in, like, I'm trying to think where it is. I would say it's south of Mount Hood in that area.
So according to your statement, this show is not a cohesive body of work. Explain why you did it this way.
Well, I started out wanting to do a cohesive body of work. I think I just found that I couldn't. Every day I woke up to something different that was scary or horrible or violent, and it was just too difficult to stay focused on one kind of idea. So I thought I wanted to make the most of my time. And what this year has given us so much, everybody, lots of time, so much time. And I like my own company a lot anyway. But I had even more of it, as we all did. And I didn't feel so much pressure to do a show specifically. I felt like it was almost an opportunity, and I needed to make the most of this opportunity to sort of get the best I could out of it by experimenting a bit. When you're working towards a show, you really have to stay on track. It's very easy to get distracted, but in this case, I thought, I know, I'll get distracted. Let's do that. That'll be my show. And so I did. And it was so great. It's so fun to experiment. I mean, I love that. So I found these great pens, brush pens, that people, illustrators use for anime and so forth. And they had this gorgeous kind of swoop that I was using as a way to do the drawing initially. They just move so well. And then I after that I realized that you know, eyeliner is a wonderful line. So I found these I went through all the eyeliner sections in Fred Meyer and found this great skinny eyeliner by Revlon that has this really wonderful calligraphy kind of feel about it. And I did a lot of work with that. I still use that a lot. It just looks like a black ink drawing, but it does a little bit something different than anything else would. So anyway, I got to experiment a lot. I used a lot more watercolor and gouache and pencil, and I tried not to stress about what I had for the show. I wanted to use the time to my best ability to comfort me, I think. I think it was consoling to find myself that way again. And I think everybody was trying to find their own way to be consoled, but that worked for me a lot anyway.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was painter Sally Cleveland. Her show Day Unto Day is on now at Augen Gallery in the Pearl through December 31st. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus in person with masks.
Thank you so much for having me.
Andy Warhol looks a scream, hang him on my wall. Andy Warhol, silver screen, can't tell them apart at all.
Radio de KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 15 de diciembre del 2020.